It's April 25th, 2013. This is the Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to the Hell Yeah Show. I'm Alan.
I'm Emery.
And we are bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day. Emery.
We're going to need to get much quieter keyboards.
Yeah.
Maybe Surface tablets.
That would work, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be excruciating, but that would work.
We discovered, as we were getting ready to start the show tonight, we found out that Google Plus Hangouts Live on the Air now does an auto-mute on the microphone if it detects someone typing on a keyboard. And if you are a fancy lad like myself with a mechanical keyboard that makes a very distinct banging sound, the microphone will cut right out.
I'm surprised you didn't cut out right there. Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just took a moment there. This not jive with Emery's model of loud, ever-present keyboard noises. So
yeah, it's really fantastic. We'll have to figure something out to address that.
Yeah,
for the one viewer of the show right now, and if we leave the video up for a while, I would like to demonstrate the glory of one of my favorite T-shirts, the kitten face tee.
Yeah, this is happening.
It's just made for Google Plus Hangouts. I love that in the big view you've got the it's not that ridiculous. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. It's not that ridiculous.
Yeah, it's downright.
But like,
respectable.
But down in the little thumbnail view at the bottom, it's just like this gigantic cat has joined the hangout.
Yeah, put my arms by my.
Yeah, do you have a link to that shirt for people who are not watching live? Do you have a link to like a picture of it or something?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that it's on fab.com.
Okay, if you can put that in the show notes, so people can see people who missed the live show,
yeah.
Which is all but one of you, so all 11 of the others of you.
It was a gift from my stepmother at Christmas time last year, and it was intended to be a gag gift, but I showed her.
Yeah,
I'm wearing it all the time, and I love it.
Cool. All right, well, so that's the first of your stuff. I hear Find My iPhone is treating you well.
I had a really rather serious scare tonight. I walked in the door, and I just gotten off the bus, and I walked up the hill and came into the house, and Liz said, "You didn't respond to my message." And I was like, "Whoa, what happened?" And she's like, "Prue took her steps today." So my daughter took her first steps today.
Yeah.
And walked right towards mom, like, you know, weeble wobbling. Very exciting. And I went to go grab my phone and realized I didn't have it. And I was immediately beset with panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran through everything in the bedroom, my bag, my coat, and I realized that I must have left it on the bus. So I grabbed my iPad and I hit the Find My iPhone application.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one thing that I can't believe how awesome this is. So I hit the little app thing and it draws me a nice map. Now, of course, it was an Apple map, so I was in the middle of the ocean. but I was able to see that my phone was traveling and it was still following the bus route on the way back downtown. So I was like, awesome. So I was like getting my shoes on and getting ready to hop in the car and drive back to where I had just gotten on the bus, mind you, which is kind of ridiculous. But I was also trying to call the bus depot and I couldn't get a hold of anybody. I was trying to see if I could get a hold of the driver.
This sounds like literally a nightmare. Like, this sounds like the kind of thing that happens in your sleep and you're like, running
so
slowly
dumb.
As fast as you can toward the door to get in the car while you're trying to figure out who to call. And
Indiana Jones is sliding under the door and the door is closing. Yeah. So I realized that if I really needed to get a hold of somebody, my best bet was to use the little lost my phone button in the top right corner. And this is what's really cool about it.
I don't know about this.
So in the Find My iPhone application, it will show, well, first of all, I launch it on my iPad and it's like, "Oh, your iPad's here at home." And I was like, no kidding.
Yeah.
But I clicked on the other devices and it will find like my Retina MacBook Pro. It'll find my iPhone. It'll find my other
anything. Anything is signed into iCloud, very much.
Yeah. So I selected the phone, saw it was traveling on the bus route, was a little spooked and scared that I was never going to see my phone again. Now, my phone's locked, so I'm not worried about someone like rifling through what are outrageously, devastatingly gorgeous self-shot nudes of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to, there's a little button in the top right corner, and it says, like, lost my phone. And if you hit that, it can pop up a little message on your phone, and you can make it say whatever you want, and it gives it a call button, so you can give it a number to reach you at. So I put in Liz's phone number, and I said, I lost my phone, please give me to the bus driver, and hit the button. And you can also make it sound an alarm. So what happens is, wherever my phone was, it's all of a sudden like wailing, like this beep, 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 thing like that. And whoever picks it up will see the message on the phone and says, I'm lost, please give me to the bus driver. And then the little button that says call. So they can tap that, and then it immediately calls my wife's phone.
Yeah.
So I got a phone call. As I'm driving downtown, the bus driver calls me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I was like, I am so glad to hear from you. I was really not relishing, like, you know, the phones aren't cheap, you know? So yeah. I definitely didn't want to have to be out to replace it. And I wound up going back downtown, and I went into the little, he said he'd drop it off in the downtown office at the interchange there. And so that's where I went. And I tried to give the guy $20 and he wouldn't take it. I was like, I really appreciate this. And I was like, here. And he's like, no, no, nope, nope, I won't have it. He's like eating his Chipotle burrito, and he was just the nicest guy.
Is the bus driver or the guy at the interchange?
It was actually the bus driver. So, like, after he went back, like, he was off shift, and so he was just grabbing a bite to eat.
Nice.
And, yeah, really nice. Got it back and then jetted back home. I was completely sweating this the entire time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But thanks to...
There are a lot of things that could have gone wrong to not allow that to happen as it did.
Especially the crackheads on my bus that, like... I was heckled like 2 weeks ago on the bus, and I was like, all right, that's great. There's a, yeah, but the,
wait, how heckled about what?
So there was this, I don't even know how to describe her. She was probably like 40, but looked 80.
Mm-hmm.
And she had about half her teeth. And her and her boyfriend were sitting in the back of the bus, and they were, like, singing a song about Michael Jackson and how they love everybody.
Yeah.
And so...
That's a great song.
Yeah, you've heard it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they sang it at the Goodwill that you were at last week.
But, yeah.
I looked out the window near them, and she starts yelling, "What? What?" And I was like, "What are you?" And I look over at her, and she's like, "What are you looking at? What are you looking at?" And I was like, just kind of, yeah, okay. And I go back to reading my Game of Thrones. And then I start hear her talking. She's like, "When we get off the bus, there's going to be trouble." And I was like, thinking to myself, like, what the hell are you going to do? Like, are you really, like, going to start a fight with me? I'm like 3 feet taller than you, and I clearly have all my teeth. Like, what are you bringing to this? And it was very strange. I haven't been heckled like that before. I mean, I've been heckled all the time, but
yeah. Well, at your stand up nights, it happens frequently.
In my kitten face tea,
yeah,
open mic night, live at the pet store.
Yeah,
but the
that is a miraculous return of.
I was really happy, and it was super slick. Like, I really like being able to like plot the course of my phone. I was just glad that it wasn't, like, wandering off course.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, like...
Yep, getting off at a stop and going to someone's house. Yep.
Yeah, that's what phones do. Happy. Yeah, yeah, right? So this was a happy ending, I think. So I was pretty glad about that. So you've never used Find My iPhone before?
Oh, no, I've used it just, like, a while ago. So I didn't... And never actually for a... actually having lost my phone, right?
Because you didn't know which trampoline it had hidden under.
Yes. I've used it to sort of like see what it was and try it out just to see that it worked, but I have never lost my phone. It's in my pocket or it's in my hand, you know?
I don't think I've ever lost my phone either, now that I think about it. There's man, let me think. I've had a million phones, and I don't think I've ever lost one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there are very few opportunities where it would actually get lost. Like, I don't set it down on things. If I'm going to stop using it, I put it in my pocket. Yeah. You know, and my I wear jeans, so it's not like it's going to fall out of the pocket.
And I sleep with mine under my pillow like a loaded revolver.
Do you really?
Yeah, actually, I do, because I use Sleep Cycle to monitor my sleep.
Nice.
So it has to be, like, under my pillow or it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of brings me to one of my other items from the week is this week's edition of Someone is Wrong on the Internet has been a fantastic conversation with a series of, we'll say, patriots that disagree with my position on gun control. So I basically had this back and forth with, like, really belligerent, tunnel-visioned people all week, which is really making me question everything about staying on Facebook.
I was going to say, like, this seems like something that is entirely avoidable. This is, like,
yeah. Well, the real problem
you don't have
here,
to subject yourself to this.
The real problem is that people are the worst.
Well, people are the worst, and the Facebook ecosystem appears to filter in a lot of cases to amplify the conversations with the people who are the worst.
Yeah, but these are people that I'm, like, arguing with on the internet.
Yeah,
that's really constructive. These are people. I mean, I won't call them peers, but I worked with them. So that just makes the whole thing even more frustrating, because it's like, yeah, I mean, these are like. These aren't dullards. They just don't have a lot of, not really a broad view. It's kind of frustrating. But and that reminds me also. So a friend of the show, John, I talked to him. We traded some messages last week, and he was catching up on previous shows. And he was like, "So Alan's got his own trampoline room now." And I was like, "Yeah." Yeah, this is what I'm working with on the show. I've got the guy in California, the Stanford graduate with a trampoline room. That's This Week in Trampolines with Alan and Emery. Yeah, it was very exciting, but he thought that was pretty great.
Yeah, apparently
he was saying that he has, like, a Goodwill boutique out there in Seattle.
Boutique? Like high end items coming into the Goodwill get their own little storefront.
Yeah. So he said he was going to go check that out, and hopefully he'll give us a field report.
That sounds good. No, the trampoline's working out well. Just quick trampoline update.
It bounces.
It continues to bounce. It continues to be quiet, which is nice. Yeah. And I've not yet hit my head on the ceiling.
That's good.
It is
good. One of my neighbors, like, recently discovered subwoofers or something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like, I only notice it at night. And it really, like, drives Liz bananas. I'm a little bit more forgiving about it, but occasionally it just seems to come out of nowhere, though. And at first I thought it was, like, someone in a car, because you'll get that sometimes, like, someone across the street or whatever.
No,
it seems to be, like, my next door neighbor, but I gotta figure that out. And it hasn't been bad lately, though, so I haven't been motivated to go over there.
Yeah,
I think it's the ladies next door. So the girls next door are students.
Yes.
And
go on.
Yes. And, I mean, I don't even know how many toilet cams I put in that place. But no, that's terrible. It's so bad. But one day they came over and knocked on the door, and they were like, "Do you have a ladder?" And I was like,
"This is..."
Yes. And they said, "Oh, we're your neighbors." I was like, "Oh, hello." But apparently,
if I'm going to be introduced to a new person, it's very important to ask the you know, key questions first, so you know what kind of person they are. So
knowing
whether someone has a ladder is going to set the groundwork for that.
Do you have any stain remover and some trash bags? Like a little American Psycho thing. Like, do you have a big rug?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
you sure it's not like do you have stairs in your house? You know, like it wasn't like a secret passphrase type of thing.
Oh, you know, I didn't even. The red dog flies at midnight.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Exactly.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But they said, you know, do you have a ladder? And I said, yes. And I thought, I was waiting for, like, a punchline, like, is your refrigerator running? Or do you have Prince Albert in a can? Like, I couldn't figure out, like, what they could, you know, ladder, hardly knew her, huh?
Yeah.
So I said yes, and they said someone had egged their house. Which,
okay.
you know, like they throw eggs at the house.
Yes.
Are you familiar with this?
I am. Yes, it's a Halloween thing, but we're not near Halloween, so
yeah. But apparently, there's been, and it was like some sort of what a wacky prank to throw eggs at the house. So they were going to like clean the side of their house off, which is admirable.
Sure.
And I loaned them a ladder. And they were much appreciative. And they said that I said, just, you know, lean it up against the house when you're done. And then I was thinking to myself, like, after I loaned them the ladder, I was like, is this going to, like, make me an enemy combatant in some sort of ever-escalating egg war? Like, are people going to say, like, that's the guy that gave them the ladder?
And then, now yeah, you don't want to get involved with that stuff. You don't
You want to kick yourself. I mean, snitches get stitches and all
that. You got to look out for your own.
Yeah. I've got a family. You know?
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, oh man, what if, you know, what's going to happen? And then I think it was, I can't remember if I was, I don't know I had to step away for a moment because I couldn't answer the door, but the doorbell rang again like 45 minutes later and Liz got the door. And they were, she's like, I could only hear part of the conversation and I was like, what's going on? You know, what? And she said, they were just asking if we had a rake. And I start laughing, and I'm like, boy, did they come to the wrong house, rake. Like, people are lucky on my block that I own a lawnmower. Not into raking. Not really something I do.
Yeah.
I hate yard work.
Yeah.
I don't even, like, shovel snow. I've got a snow guy. So when it gets, like, I don't shovel. I can't do it.
Yeah. You just don't go outside.
No, this is how I maintain this deathly pallor, this corpse-like skin tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really like being outside. I'm a sweaty guy. Sweaty guys don't like to be outside.
Yeah. It's allergy season here now, apparently.
That's
I
ramping
feel
up
it.
Soon.
Yeah. And there's a very clear treatment to that. Which is do not go outside.
Stay near air conditioning. There was one, I used to never have allergies, and then one year when I was living in Rhode Island, it was like just out of nowhere one summer. It was just terrible, and we had like this big. Since I don't do any yard work, we had like this big patch of ragweed growing right outside the living room window, and I'm pretty sure that's what was like causing all of this. But there was one day, like even when I was at work, where it was just so bad and like my eyes were just scratchy and red and I was so miserable. I went out into the car and just turned on the AC full blast and just like parked my face like right on the vent, just like that. Like it was the only thing that made me feel any better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been pretty exciting. I've been taking a ton of pictures lately.
Yeah, I was going to say cameras. Yeah. We got a little off track there.
Yeah. I've been taking a ton of pictures lately and really liking that and decided to make a big move and get a much fancier, nicer camera than I currently own. So I ordered the Fuji X100S, which is a lot of people are referring to it as kind of like the new Leica, mainly because it is a 35mm fixed lens. All metal all the time, very well made, designed to be slung around. It's basically made for what's the word I'm looking for, like reportage camera. So it's got the right angle for that sort of thing, and the people that have it, in particular people with kids, love it because it's very fast at focusing and has great lens and great optics for shooting in available light, which is crucial, and just has a beautiful sensor. It has the same X-Trans sensor as the X-Pro 1, and I'm super pumped. However,
that sounds great.
I'm on a back order, so I placed the order this week, and I'm probably not going to see it until the end of May.
Wow.
It's really hard to get your hands on right now.
Huh. This is and it looks like you're getting it from Amazon.
I am. And one of the things I ordered was a new SD card because I wanted to get one of the ultra high speed class 10s for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got like a set of filters because there's one of the goofy things about this camera is that the way that the lens barrel works, there's a cover at the end, like around the edge, and then you can unscrew that and you can put a filter on, but there's, if you put like a regular filter on and you don't get like the super expensive like $70 Fuji ring, there's like a little filter adapter that they sell. If you don't do that and you put a filter directly on the lens, it's actually close enough that in some situations, like if you're doing macro, when it focuses, it'll extend the lens into the filter.
Oh.
So, because the reason it's threaded the opposite direction. And so when you flip the filter over and mount it, you're closer to the lens than you ordinarily would be. So what people do is they get like a $5 UV filter like this guy here, and you smash out the glass on it and use it as a stepping ring on the camera. So that came, and so that's not at all frustrating to have part of my stuff here and no camera. But the 32 gig SD card didn't make it into the box. And it wasn't there. And I actually figure I selected that I wanted the frustration-free packaging. And so I'm thinking that maybe it just like fell out of the box. Does that make any sense? Because
because I don't think it would have just been the card. I mean, it would have had something around it, right? But
you would think. But nevertheless, it wasn't in the box. And I couldn't figure out online, like there's a thing for something arrived damaged or there's a part missing or something. And it didn't really quite seem right. But the phone number on the receipt and the shipping slip was there. So I called that. And in less than 3 minutes, I was talking to somebody. And they just overnighted me a card.
Yeah.
Which I thought was outstanding.
They're really, really good about that stuff. I had a package delivered. So at my apartment, if they deliver via FedEx, FedEx is super lazy and leaves packages just like out in the front of the building, you know, not near my door, just like in this totally exposed area by the mailboxes.
In the dumpster.
Yeah, basically. And so I can only imagine they left a package via, and they don't send them via FedEx often, but they sent a package via FedEx that I guess someone just picked up, and I'm sure they were very happy with their theft because that box contained shampoo.
Ooh, wash my hair.
I know the gold mine there. But then I submitted a ticket online, and Amazon just like no questions about it at all. Just you know, yep, all right, another one's on its way. You know,
Dividel. Yeah. The I think it's UPS, maybe it's also FedEx. But my dad lives in a small town, apparently, like if no one's home, they'll sometimes just let themselves in the back door of the garage and drop off packages in there just because that's the kind of town it is. Like,
yeah, no, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's better than leaving it out, you know?
Oh yeah. Before. Especially when like I shipped lobster, live lobster.
That's yes.
And he was like, oh, don't worry. Cause I said, we're sending you something and it's very, very perishable. And he was like, okay, well, and I said, well, will someone be home? Do you think? And he's like, yeah, probably, but if not, it's no big deal. They'll just leave it at the door inside the garage.
They'll bring it inside. They'll unpack it. They'll put it in your refrigerator, and then and then be on their way.
Yeah. It was a shipment of live lobster. It was like after my wedding. I sent them. I sent people in the Midwest lobsters from Maine, and we sent people in New England Omaha steaks.
Uh huh.
And everyone seemed to be very happy with that all around.
That's good. Yeah, okay, you got to mention of it. Did you buy this camera with Bitcoins?
Oh, so no, not entirely. But I finally realized that I could actually cash those stupid things out.
Bought Bitcoins?
I didn't buy them.
You mined them?
Yeah, of course I did, because I was curious. Like I was reading about this thing, and there's like all these people, and we could do a segment on this ridiculous thing later in the future. But
yeah,
there's like this. Electronic currency called Bitcoin, and it's primarily used to buy black market narcotics.
and it's used for wild speculation.
And wild speculation. So there's if you want to pretend that you know what you're talking about and participate in a hideous economic land, just, I don't even know what to call it. It's basically the way that this thing goes, like, up and down all the time, I think, like, when I only have a few because I just kind of, like, futz around with it off and on and would, like, I signed up and joined, like, a mining pool and ran the thingy and I had this reasonable enough video card. But anyways, I have enough Bitcoins now that I can sell them for cash and get about $350. So,
oh, I thought you were going to say, so you can retire to your private island.
No. No.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Uh-huh. That's pretty solid, though. And now is, I'd assume, yeah, now is the time to cash out on that stuff. So
why not? I mean, first of all, for the, you know, I have like 2.5 Bitcoin, right? So it's like,
yeah.
It's still not like I'm going to...
today's economy, let me tell you.
Well, yeah, but this is also kind of reminiscent of like my my 4 shares of Apple that became, you know, $9,000.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that where I'm like, if only I would have tried harder.
Uh-huh.
And mined more Bitcoin. Yeah, I don't know. I probably would be better off putting money under a mattress.
Probably.
But yeah, so that was the exciting, it's kind of like one of those things where I was finally motivated. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So how about you?
All right. So
you had another purchase that you made recently.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
do you have the predecessor handy for a visual aid for,
Do we have it? Is anyone actually watching?
Yeah.
All right, fine. I will go get it.
Put the pants on. What are you doing? Okay, so while Alan's getting his phone, I'm going to sing a couple of verses of The Girl from Ipanema. So if you can close your eyes and pretend that you're in an elevator. Oh, I'm welcome back.
All right, so this is my former phone.
And what model is that? Is that the RuPaul?
This is the Samsung Galaxy Nexus. And Emery, would you like to describe what you are seeing here to the listeners at home?
I am seeing an unsightly bulge or a tumor coming off the back of the, what is that, the glitter? The Samsung glitter, did you say?
The Samsung Galaxy.
Okay.
No, not Galaxy, sorry. It's the Nexus.
Oh,
It is the Galaxy. It is the Samsung Galaxy Nexus. That's what.
And what was this this protrusion coming off the back of it?
Coming off the back of it is an extended life battery.
Oh.
Which just about doubles its width.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And does that mean that the battery lasts for like a week now?
It lasts for like a day and a half.
Oh, a day.
Yeah. So here's the deal.
My brother-in-law carries 3 of those in his coat, by the way.
So, yeah, that's good. as you know, I've been spending some time in wine country lately.
Yeah.
I spent a day in Napa, and I came back from Napa, and a few things had happened.
That's nice. One, to get a day trip out to the wine country.
It's nice. It is very nice. So I come back, and a couple things had happened. One,
a new trampoline had arrived.
Yes. This phone was pretty much, the battery was pretty much dead. I was having trouble getting any internet because I was in a space where I was getting sort of Wi-Fi and sort of cellular, and it was hopping between both of them and doing a poor job of getting internet on either. And three, the width of this thing was causing a clear tear to start to happen in my jeans. The place where the corner of this, the corner of the pocket where this thing, front right pocket, the place where the corner of this phone sits was actually, the jeans were starting to wear away in that corner.
Let me ask you this. Does your girlfriend wear pants? And I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay, yeah.
Has she ever complained about the front pocket on women's pants being too small to accommodate a cell phone?
This is never a complaint.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway.
Sorry.
This cell phone. It was causing a hole in my pants. It's not lasting through the day. And it was just generally having issues. The next day, that was Saturday. Sunday, I know this is how I make decisions. Sunday, rolled out to the T-Mobile store, and bought an iPhone 5.
Nice.
Yeah. So T-Mobile, as we haven't actually talked about this, but T-Mobile has been doing this big
promotion.
Yes, big push to say, hey, you know all that stuff that cellular carriers do that drives you crazy? We're not going to do it anymore.
We've been doing it for years.
Yeah, more or less. You know, it makes sense for them. I mean, they're behind in the market, so they're
they got to do something.
They got to do something. And I think it seems like it's working. It worked for me. Anyway, so T-Mobile, there's a local T-Mobile store in Mountain View that has there is at least this one person on their sales staff is the most competent cell phone salesman I have ever encountered. And I know that's not saying much.
I've had some good store associates in some places, but for the most part, yeah, they're kind of company guy pushing whatever
they're
told to sell that month. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So this guy is fantastic, and I had actually dealt with him previously, and he is pretty excellent. So picked up an iPhone 5 with the T-Mobile no contract, unlimited 4G.
Way to go!
Monthly deal. Yeah.
So we should be back on iMessage now.
No, I didn't turn on any of the iMessage stuff. Yeah, because I know from last time that getting locked into that ecosystem has repercussions when you attempt to leave that ecosystem. Yeah, see?
Locked into the ecosystem.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's... we're not going to talk about it.
I've now got this iPhone 5 and T-Mobile. I'm liking it a whole lot for a variety of reasons. One of them, Passbook, has been fantastic. I did some traveling recently.
I don't use Passbook. There's a guy in my office that does, and I'm really interested to hear what your thoughts are on it.
So it doesn't work with that many apps, but it does work with the United app. And I did some flying to L.A., and the United app, I was able to check in on my flight in the United app and then hit a button that said add to Passbook. And then nothing happens immediately, but... the sort of like a couple hours before your flight, you start seeing a little thing on your home screen pop up or on your lock screen pop up that says, United, whatever, leaving, departs at whatever. Right. And without even having to unlock your screen, you just swipe across that thing and your boarding pass pops up right there with the, QR code thing for them to scan all, everything you need, the gate number, all that stuff is right
Sweet.
There on the card. Fantastic. It was so, so good. So that was pretty excellent. So Passbook's great. I've been meaning to try the Fandango app and get some movie tickets via Passbook just to see how that works.
But I'm sure
for flights,
Android,
it was fantastic.
I'm sure the Android version of the Yelp application does this too, but I remember being especially delighted when you open up Yelp on an iPhone and you can like swing the camera and it shows you like what you're looking at.
Oh, the monocle stuff?
And, yeah, like the, this is Taco Bell and over here. Like, I thought things like that are really slick.
I don't know if that's in the Android app or not. There's no reason it wouldn't be. There's no, like, that's not a, there's like Passbook is a, an iOS framework, right?
Sure.
And then, Downcast. Is a really awesome podcast app, podcast receiving app, which is good because the Apple made podcast app for iOS is not that great.
People seem to really not like it. I don't have any. I don't know why it doesn't bother me. Like I kind of like it.
Yeah. So generally, what I'm looking for in a podcast app is I don't really care. What podcast things are coming from. I don't really want to browse within a given podcast. I don't want to select episodes manually. All I want is one continuous playlist of all of the podcasts that I haven't listened to yet, sorted by oldest to newest, right? And I just want it to continually play through that playlist and then download new episodes and add them to that playlist and just keep it going.
Sure.
And Downcast supports that perfectly. One thing I was worried about switching from Android. On Android, it's very easy for a podcast app, and I actually had a really great one called Beyond Pod. It's very easy for a podcast app to wake itself up at like 4 a.m. and download a bunch of podcasts, right?
I used on my old Series 60 handsets, like my Nokias, they had a couple of podcast applications that I really liked that did that too. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, so that is super easy on Android for an app to do that. On iOS, that is not easy, right? Because on iOS, there's all sorts of restrictions about when an app can wake itself up and all that stuff. Which,
that's why
of course,
there's a push notifications and all that.
Right, yeah. So which, of course, like that contributes to better battery life, which sure. I'm happy about. But I really do like this idea of an app waking itself up at 4 a.m. And downloading all my podcasts. So Downcast, I can't quite figure out what it's doing yet, actually. But it seems to use some combination of geofencing and scheduling. So like it I configured some settings such that it seems like it's checking once every 24 hours or when it detects that I am home.
Yeah, the Instapaper app for iOS does that too.
Syncs when you get home?
Yeah, and it does it by having a push notification tickle it every once in a while and say, hey, where you at, dog? And then your device says, I'm on this access point or I'm in this location, and then it says, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it seems to be working, it's keeping my podcast downloaded without a problem. So I was worried about that in switching to an iPhone 5, and it was not an issue. So that was good. I totally recommend Downcast. Great app. Yeah, and then T-Mobile's generally great. That I was on Sprint before, and Sprint does not have 4G in most of the Bay Area.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is really a bummer. So being on 4G now is just fantastic, especially since baseball season has started.
Oh.
And MLB TV, they have this MLB at Bat app. And
pitchers
MLB,
and catchers, as my friend Sean says.
Pitchers and catchers?
Yeah, that's what he refers to baseball season as.
Okay.
It's like 3 weeks until pitchers and catchers.
Okay. So MLB TV, I'm a yearly subscriber, and they when there's a Padres game happening, they send me a little push notification that says, hey, Padres game is starting right now. And wherever I am, because I've got this 4G, I can hit up that push notification, takes me right into the MLB at-bat app, and because I'm on 4G, starts streaming the game. And I can just – I watched – a couple innings of a Padres game from the LA airport, both while I was waiting to get on the flight and then while I was in my seat waiting for us to depart from the gate. Just like seeing a few innings of the Padres game, which was absolutely fantastic. So, and it's great because like I don't record the games. I'm never going to like sit down and dedicate myself to, okay, time to watch tonight's baseball game. I'm not that big of a follower. So just getting a little mobile notification of like, hey, game's happening, and then over the next few hours, occasionally tuning in from my phone is magical.
God, it reminds me of Arrested Development, where he's like, thanks, phone! When Job is like talking about all the things, like he wants to do notifications of celebrity stuff on cell phones. Yeah. Sorry. I should get an audio clip of that, though. So,
thanks,
like a text
phone.
Message, Job yells, thanks, phone!
Yeah.
Make a note of that.
My last, so all my stuff is related to the iPhone 5, more or less. But so, my last item here is just publicly embarrassing Emery about the fact that he has not taken his turn in letterpress. And who could blame him? Because the current status of this letterpress game is let me just load this up here. I am currently winning this game 24-0.
Wasn't the last word you played extradition treaty?
The last word I played was purviews.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I
oh wow. That's a pretty bleak looking board. I'm in trouble.
there is one white space and three light blue spaces, and the rest of the board is solid blue. So good luck with that, Emery. The only spaces you can capture are T, V, X, and W.
Someone's got a case of blue boards. I love letterpress. I haven't really bad. I've got like 8 games going right now, and they've all been stalled for like a week.
I'm just taking this opportunity because I'm pretty sure you're gonna like auto resign soon or whatever. So
okay, I'll get on it.
I'm just saying, you know.
Part of the problem is I don't even want to get into it. I have to change my game center ID on the iPad, so I the only time I play letterpress is on the phone, and usually these days, like, my letterpress downtime is, like, when I'm on the bus, and I've been reading Game of Thrones lately, so my game time has been cut down.
Alas.
Yeah. I'll pick up, though. It's time. It's time you really let me have it.
All right. Okay. I was trying to think of a smooth transition into Ubuntu, but there is no smooth transition into Ubuntu.
There never is.
There never is.
But this week launch, there's a new version of the Ubuntu operating system, which is a Linux distribution for desktops and servers. This is the 13.04 release, and it is notable mainly because some of the previous releases of Ubuntu, they have a new windowing environment, like for a graphical desktop, called Unity. And there were a lot of people that found it to be sluggish and a little cumbersome, and there's been some big improvements made to the performance of that desktop environment, and also some changes to their online accounts dashboard, which is, for Mac users, it's very similar to the mail contacts and calendars preference pane in Windows 8 or something like that, too. And they have a really slick new social accounts and lenses thing. So if you have, like, a Twitter account and a Facebook account and LinkedIn and all the other assorted nonsense, you can easily kind of get those notifications of activity in those networks really easily. And
that is, these are not features I would expect or want out of a Linux distro. It just seems to me like if I'm going Linux, I'm going, give me the things that I need to run, you know, give me the basic operating system tools I need, and then let me, you know, install other stuff if I want it. But
sure, and you still can. I mean, one of the really great things about Ubuntu is they've actually kind of adopted the App Store model for distribution of software. So instead of having to kind of trudge your way through a bunch of really strangely named packages, you can still do that if you're a power user that knows exactly which libraries and header files you need to build your software. But if you want something a little bit more polished because you're not interested in development work at all, their little App Store widget and the Ubuntu One web service is pretty slick. So it's definitely, if people have been considering going down that road, and these days there's some really good software on Linux for even things like photography. So I think, did we talk about what's it called? They call it, now I gotta look. But there is there's basically an open source free application that's very similar to Adobe Lightroom, and that runs perfectly well on OS X, and it also runs on Linux. There's a video editing software that's as capable as iMovie, which isn't really anything fancy, but what most people that own a computer and want to chop together some video clips want. The word processing stuff, I mean, a lot of that people are doing with Google Docs anyways, and that's all on the web. So you have the parity between having a Windows desktop and a Linux workstation are very similar these days for a lot of people. And you would not have been able to say that even 5 years ago.
Right.
So this is actually a pretty notable release for that reason alone. And one of the other things that happened this week, there's probably the best of the free options for task and project management, like the whole getting things done, tracking stuff. It's called Wunderlist, and it's the only thing that Liz tolerated. Like, I tried to show her OmniFocus, I showed her Things, I showed her a couple of other web services. Wunderlist was the one that she actually really liked. And it came in pretty handy for, like, you know, getting ready to do some travel, just having, like, a shared list that we could both work off of. So it's not what I use for all my stuff. I'm pretty devoted to OmniFocus, but if I had to use something else, it would probably be Wunderlist, which works on iOS and Android, has a web application, it has desktop applications for OS X, for Windows, et cetera, et cetera. My biggest concern about any free service is how long till they're gone. Seeing them come out this week with a pro version, bringing some extra collaboration features and some other things for like kind of a value add for a pretty reasonable price. I think it's like $5. That was really nice to see. So having a free tier that is somewhat limited, but they didn't limit it. Like, they added new stuff and made that the pro, which is a really good way to do it. So I was really happy to see that. And it kind of makes me less skittish. In the OmniFocus world, I know I mentioned OmniFocus 2 a few weeks ago. I finally got into their test group for that, so I've been using that a little bit, and it's nice. Pretty exciting.
So I have, over the years, I have played around with a variety of task and or you know to do and task tools, and I think I finally settled on something. That's something we should probably talk more at length about, sort of the theory behind this stuff. But
you get a Palm Pilot?
Yes, I decided that it was. I decided that the sometimes
a Palm 5.
Sometimes the you know the tried and true solution is the best solution.
Yeah.
I realized that my email inbox is kind of already my to-do list.
A lot of people feel the same way. Have you looked at Mailbox for iOS?
I have. I saw on the way to Napa. the guy next
there
to
I
me
was sipping my Chianti.
The guy next to me on our bus was actually giving me a demo of it. Looked pretty slick. But I realized that my mailbox is my Gmail inbox is pretty much my to-do list anyway.
Yeah.
So I just started. I created a to-do label that automatically gets applied whenever a header or a subject starts with the word to-do colon. And I just started filing my to-dos as emails to myself.
A lot of people do that.
And it's been working super well because I always try and clear out my inbox down to the point where it's only the stuff that I need to do something actionable on. And as a result, the to-dos fit right in there. So
that's certainly a viable model. There's been a lot of effort going on in that space. People are still trying to figure out how to do email better. There's a couple of services and applications that aren't quite in broad distribution yet. They're either early in the test phase or there's other reasons for it, but there are a lot of people that are trying to go down that road. And for many people, it's very successful. In my case, I have several mixed email systems I interact with, and so you know, doing everything in my email client doesn't really work for me. But if you are, you know, like you, full-time inside of Gmail, that's going to work out really well. And things like Mailbox for iOS, which will also come to other platforms soon, will really go a long way to facilitating that as well. In Mailbox, you can really easily do basic email triage, and then there's very simple actions for, like, this is something I need to respond to, this is something that I can just do later or whatever, and then having, like, a front end for that you can also view in the Gmail web interface, because they show up as labels, because that's the, you know, they use that as the mechanism for differentiating between them. It's really cool. There's a lot of really neat stuff going on there.
Nice.
And, yeah, I think that's definitely a topic that we've threatened to dive into on several occasions now.
I know you have extensive theories on that stuff. So
that's why they send me. I am expert. That's Lebowski for you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've done everything from being a really staunch believer in index cards and really involved categorization and information storage on paper to really ridiculous single lists and text files to database applications and planning software like OmniFocus to web services. I mean, I've tried just about everything.
Yeah.
And I find things like that just fascinating. I'm always looking for faster, better. So, yeah.
Cool.
Speaking of faster, better.
Faster, better.
There's a new Netflix service.
Oh, thought you were going with Daft Punk.
Oh, no. There's a
stronger. Yeah.
There's a new family plan for Netflix. So right now, on your Netflix account, you can have two concurrent streams, which is great because when my wife is doing a marathon session of Sports Night, I can also watch Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
But they now have one for families.
That's the canonical use case right there.
Yeah, yeah. Sports Nights and Cheers. But yeah. Now they have a plan for people that need four streams. And that's kind of interesting, especially in light of, we didn't even put it on the show this week. We should talk about it next time. The new Amazon Prime in the living room push that they're doing. So there's that. And also came out news this week that Netflix has a bigger audience than HBO. Which I found pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I don't.
Not that's, unlikely. I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but at the same time, that's an interesting metric.
Yeah, it's right. It doesn't seem like a surprise, especially since Netflix comes at such a lower price point. If you're talking about HBO as an add-on to a cable subscription,
yeah.
But at the same time, a whole lot of people have cable subscriptions, and a whole lot of those people, you know, HBO is really pushed strongly on you know as part of a cable package,
and they have outstanding shows like Game of Thrones,
right? Yeah,
like
yeah.
To be frank, like the second run movie aspect of HBO doesn't really do anything for me, but
and it's amazing because the
programming
like,
is outstanding.
There was a time in HBO's history where that was all they were. Right?
Oh yeah, yeah. If you had a VCR and an HBO subscription, you were in business.
Yeah, and they've done some awesome stuff with original content. But it makes total sense that Netflix would be bigger. It just you're right. It's not something that I'd realized outright.
Yeah, my other entertainment option for this week has been I've been playing Mass Effect 2 now because I finished the original one, mm-hmm. and I got to import Shepard into Mass Effect 2, and you're right, it actually is not a completely stupid effort.
Yep.
I like the way that they've addressed decisions that I've made in the first game. I liked the recurring tertiary characters and some of the main cast. And I'm also playing it a little smarter this time through. The first time I played Mass Effect 2, I was really aggressive on the starting the final run there, but I didn't do all the stuff I wanted to do, so I kept doing stuff, and then that's how I was losing people.
Yep.
So Mass Effect 2 has been really, really exciting for me. I like it a lot, and I'm really looking forward to finishing that and then going again into the final episode
with all your save data.
It'll be really cool.
I still haven't finished 3.
Oh, 3's great.
It's amazing because I just devoured 1 and 2. Like those were really, really got me, really great games that I enjoyed a whole lot.
Are you slow to finish the third one because you have to do online stuff to really unlock the ending?
No, it's just more playing through it, I at this point where it's just like this is, I don't feel the same drive to to see what's next.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. As I said, like I played 40 hours of or like 35 hours of 1, 40 hours of 2. Like I played through those things in really solid blocks. And 3, I've been sort of just popping in and out of. So,
Yeah, the other funny thing from this week was Apple might be getting fined for copyright infringement in China.
Yeah, because the Chinese take copyright very seriously.
Oh,
and
it's very serious business. That's why they made a knockoff Apple store. You saw that, right?
I think I have seen that.
They
yeah.
made an act. Someone built a counterfeit store and called it Apple, and then they sold like all sorts of knockoff
counterfeit
Apple gear in there. It was like ridiculous. I couldn't quite figure that one out. But it was puzzling. And I think it's mainly posturing on the part of China to say like, you're constantly hassling us over copyright stuff. Well, how do you feel about it? And the fine is like something ridiculous.
$118,000?
Yeah, that is some seriously punitive fining.
That's like what, like 3 seconds of
not even
device sales?
Not even. Yeah. They have $146 billion in the bank, so Tim Cook is like Scrooge McDuck somewhere in like a big gold vault swimming through money. WWDC reservations sold out in like 2 minutes this year.
Did they really?
Yeah, the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference was booked in less than 5 minutes.
Oh, speaking of which, I forgot to talk about this in my stuff, but I attempted to buy BlizzCon tickets yesterday. Oof. Yeah, it was 7 p.m. Tickets went on sale. And
isn't that
I
in Sacramento or where is that?
No, it's in Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. I was right at 7. I was hammering on that page and managed to get it to load to see that I was number 12,000 something in the queue.
Oof.
Yeah,
that's a scene, man.
Yeah, and then I think I got down to like position 7,000 or 8,000, and at that point all the tickets were gone. So
yeah.
So there's another chance.
I queued for it 1 year, just on a whim, and it was a similar situation. Do you think this year they're going to announce their next generation MMO thing?
It's possible. It is entirely possible. So I get another chance to buy tickets on Saturday morning.
Wow.
So I will try again. 10 a.m.
There's
Saturday
always
morning.
People reselling them too, which is kind of sketchy, but
yeah, they're $175 at retail from Blizzard, so it's not cheap to start with.
Nope.
Yeah, and PAX tickets this year, or PAX tickets for
PAX
for
West,
PAX or? in the Seattle PAX.
Okay.
Those tickets sold out before some people were even able to load the page. Like they, that has
become a really big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
How many conferences do they do? They do PAX East in Boston, they do the one in Seattle, and then isn't there another one?
There's a new one in Australia. Yeah. So this was for the Seattle one. They extended the Seattle one to 4 days now instead of three. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And
in Australia, do they have to hold the controllers the opposite direction?
I think that's how it works. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the 4 day pass is sold out before people could even load the page, and then the 1 day is sold out very shortly after. So, and there I was reading the story someone's post about it that the tickets were available like a few hours after the fact, and then hitting up the page and being like, yep, every single ticket I could possibly buy is sold out.
Oof.
So, yep. Yeah, that stuff's getting big, and like to the point where there are few convention venues that they could actually expand to that would be able to hold more people. You know, in those cities there are none, right? Like Seattle, there are no larger convention centers in Seattle or Boston. I don't know about it must be Sydney. So they'd have to go to like Las Vegas or something to find a bigger convention center.
This week's episode of Game of Thrones was awesome. That's what I'm closing with. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really intense season. The last episode I thought was a little slow, but this week's really nailed it. And it was one of the things I was looking forward to the most from reading the books. So the last like 7 minutes of the episode, I was glued to it.
Nice. All right. Well, I told you I am... I'm forcing myself to read through the books and get caught up before starting to watch. So,
gotta do it.
Yep. All right, cool. And I guess, we'll end on that. Some happy news.
Thank you for the show, Alan.
Yeah, sure. We are, let's see. You can contact us if you need to. show@hellyad.com. We're always reachable there. We are also on the interwebs at show.hellyad.com. And...
Or you can reach us on the Twitter machine, twitter.com/hellyashow. Send us a tweet at hellyashow, or you may now also send us a post on app.net. Hell yeah.
Or Google plus the Hell Yeah Show.
Nice.
If you'd like. All right, that will do it. We will see you in about 2 weeks.
Beedle-doo.